The final thing is that Art Prize is coming. Many of you have probably heard about this. We are a venue here, and 17 days and counting before Art Prize gets kicked off. Julia, I saw, put a sign-up sheet. We're looking for people to host Monroe. We are a venue that needs to be open for all those days. So please sign up if you're able to do that. There's other great announcements on there, too, so take a look. If you've got any questions, find me afterwards. So for those of you who are visiting, we are in the middle of toward the end of a series, a little series, of things that Pastor Henry and Amy learned while they were gone. Monroe granted us a sabbatical, a renewal time this summer, and we used that time to change pace a little bit and to do some traveling and some exploring. And along the way, we learned some things, and we are sharing those things, some of those things. Not all of them. We learned a lot. We'd be here a long time if we shared everything we learned. But we're highlighting a few things. So we're going to continue to do that this morning, too. Before we do, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you. And it's our rhythm, it's our pattern here to gather together to reflect on your word together. And as we do that this morning, we're going to be reflecting on 1 Corinthians 10 and your word to us there. And in many ways, this word goes against the culture in which we live. It goes against what is the norm, what is the default, what it is that we are used to. So I pray that you would just speak to us. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your spirit. Allow us to hear from you. Don't allow us to run away or hide or ignore your truth to us this morning. I pray this in the name of Jesus, who is our Savior, and everyone said, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's a stack of them right by the pillar where Dirk is standing right there. You're free to just get up and get one. Or just raise your hand and Bibles just show up here, so it's great. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about freedom this morning. We're going to begin at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10. And read through verse 11, verse 1. It's found on page 812 if you're using those Bibles that are handed out to you. Here Paul writes to the church in Corinth and to us here this morning. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of someone, of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. And then verse 23 and 24 again. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So one of the things that we did this summer is we took a really long trip, a trip out west to visit as many national parks as we thought we could, and still see them in a reasonable amount of time. One of the parks we visited was Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Has anyone been to Theodore Roosevelt National Park? Mark, thank you. Mark and Pastor Henry have been to Theodore. It's not a very common one. Not many people go there, as you can see. But they call it the Badlands of North Dakota. President Roosevelt had a ranch. He was in the ranching business for a little while, and he had this big cattle ranch out on the western side of North Dakota. He's the president who got many of the national parks established while he was president. He donated this land and made it into a national park. We spent much of the morning wandering through there, and you get out in the middle, and it's just quiet because there's nothing there except you, a couple of cars, some wild horses that go all over the road, a couple pronghorn sheep, and the wind, and rattlesnakes. We learned about rattlesnakes. We were going to go on some hikes. The ranger said, watch out for rattlesnakes. So Pastor Amy said, no hikes. So we had real short hikes while we were in Theodore Roosevelt National Park. After getting some lunch, we decided to head further east, heading back toward Grand Rapids. Has anyone else driven through North Dakota? All right. Not much to do in North Dakota except 2 and 75. Here we go, right? We're flying. So we're going. We stop at the visitor center. And at the visitor center, we learned about this campground, a county campground near Jamestown, North Dakota. That was our destination. One of the reasons we were going to stop there, it was because it was free to stay there. We try to find free places to camp whenever we could. So we're cruising along, and we didn't know if we'd find it. They say it's about 5 miles or so off the interstate. So we start heading north looking for this county campground. Well, we get there, and we find that it's along this reservoir. And because it's free, we're kind of, well, what do you do at a free campground? So we see some people there who are playing horseshoes, having a good time, and we drive up and I say, so what's the deal here? How does this go? And they say, oh, you can go wherever you want, just set up camp. And the reason it's free is because the amenities were light. They had pit toilets, a few picnic tables, and grass. Those were the three things that you received when you were camping at this campground. So we said, okay. Thanks for the info. So we found a spot where we thought would be good, and we pitched up our tent. Since we arrived about 20 minutes before sunset, we decided to go back into town to get some dinner. We came back, we brushed our teeth in the restaurant and all that stuff, and did our showering as you would do as you're camping, moving along across the road. And we come back to the campground. It's pitch black because there's just pit toilets, a few picnic tables, and grass. So we decided to crawl into our tents. We write in our journals, as was our custom, read the kids a few stories, they turn out the lights, and they fall asleep. Just as we're about to fall asleep, the group that's 50 yards away from us decides to spring up to life. This is about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. They had their fifth wheels in their campers set up on the campground in Western-style fashion. If you know how to circle the wagons, they had them all circled up. And inside was a bonfire going. They had their generators going, the floodlights going, because there's only pit toilets, picnic tables, and grass. So the horseshoes are going. The beanbag toss is going. And the beer is starting to get drunk. All right? Has anyone camped at a campground where alcohol is allowed? Do you know what happens when people start drinking alcohol at 11 o'clock at night? The intensity starts. Oh, there's Dan in the back. He knows where this is going, doesn't he? They started drinking. Then they started hollering. Then they started fighting, and then they started arguing. Well, then they started cussing. Right? And the four-letter words are flying this, and then they're flying that. So it's just getting out. It's getting louder and louder and louder. Well, because the rules at this campground are light, you can do whatever you basically want. So they were taking full advantage of this. It's also a great place to go four-wheeling, we learned. We didn't have our four-wheeler with us. But many of them also had their four-wheelers. So they were getting a little upset with the horseshoes, so they decided to give four-wheeling a try. So it's about 12:30 at night, and here they come roaring up and down and all around. So there we are laying in our tent at about 2 in the morning, wondering, is a four-wheeler going to come through our little tent? So while we're laying there, right, praying, please, Lord, don't let a four-wheeler come through our tent. Right? Please, Lord, please, Lord. A song pops into my head. It's a song that we used to play in the dorms at Calvin after exams were finished. It's a song by the group The Soup Dragons. Take a listen. Don't be afraid of your freedom. To that song claim that we are free, right, to do what we want any old time. And at that county campground that night, the group of men about 50 yards away from us were doing whatever they wanted at any old time. But tell me, that's right, but now tell me, is the claim of that song true? Soup Dragons claim that we are free to do what we want at any old time. But is that true? Are you and I free to do what we want at any old time? Are we free to max out our credit cards so that we can't use them anymore? Are we free to gamble away our paycheck when we get it on a Friday night? Are you and I free to surf the internet wherever that river might take us? Are you and I free to watch whatever movies we want to watch? Are you and I free to make as much money as we possibly can? Paul, in our text for today, is writing to address and answer this very question. Are we free to do what we want at any old time? You see, many of the Christians in this new church in Corinth were doing whatever they wanted at any old time. They were using their newfound freedom in Christ to its fullest extent. If the law allowed it, if their knowledge justified it, and if they had the right to do it, they were doing it. The specific issue that Paul addresses in our text is the meat that the Corinthians found at the market. You see, much of the meat in the deli section there had been offered to idols, to pagan gods in the city in which they lived, and used in sacrifices to these gods. So it wasn't Angus beef coming from Nebraska or North Dakota or Montana, which we drove through. Right? It was coming from the temples, these temples where people worshipped other gods. But in their culture, there were no laws against eating meat that was sacrificed to idols. And the Christians knew, right? They had knowledge. They knew that this meat wasn't any different. The Lord, the creator of the earth, made it and provided it, whether it was offered to an idol or not. They knew that. And they had every right to eat it. But even though there were no laws against eating it, and even though they knew that the Lord was the creator of it, and even though they had the right to eat it, the question is, should they? Should they still do it? And Paul, in his letter to them, argues that their conduct, right, Christian conduct, should not be regulated by those three things. Right? Should not be regulated by the law, nor by their knowledge of stuff, nor by their rights. The Corinthians were using their rights to act in freedom as they saw fit. Well, it's my right. It's my right to be able to eat this. And Paul's challenging that assumption. Rather, Paul says, what rules, what should rule over and regulate your conduct, the choices that you make, is the freedom that is set in the context of the benefit and edification of others on the one hand and the glory of God on the other. He says, let the benefit and edification of others determine what you choose to do or not do. And let the glory of God be the determining factor. Let's look at that benefit and edification first. In verses 23 and 24, what does Paul say? He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. He says, even though you may be permitted to do it, it may not be beneficial for you to be doing it. Even though you may be permitted to do it, it may not be constructive. Can you think of anything that is permitted, but not necessarily beneficial? Can you think of things that are permitted, but not necessarily constructive? It's summer right now. But in a few months, as you know, the seasons change. Right? Speed limit says 70. In the middle of a blizzard, right? Speed limit says 70. The law says you're permitted to do that. Some people still do it. Right? They can't see where they're going. There's no traction under their wheels. Have you ever driven by somebody like this? Were you benefited because of it? Was it constructive? Right? Not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Why should we seek the good of those around us? Paul says, because this is what our God did for us. Listen to his letter to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 2. Here Paul says, each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. He says your attitude should be the same of that, the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself what? Nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Our God, our Savior, became nothing in order to serve us. He didn't look only to his own interests. He also looked into our interests. Gordon Fee, in his commentary on this verse, reminds us that for Paul, freedom does not mean to seek my own good. It means to be free in Christ in such a way that one can truly seek to benefit and build up another person. Freedom does not mean to seek my own good. It means to be free in Christ in such a way that one can truly seek to benefit and build up another person. Two different ways to define freedom. As I've been reflecting on this, I think our culture teaches us the first. Right? We are free to be able to do what we want, whenever we want. But is that freedom? What did Christ do? How did He free us? He freed us from ourselves. He freed us from having to only think about ourselves. He freed us from being entrapped by our sin and our ego and our all the effects of that, so that we can serve others and seek the good of others. He freed us so that we can benefit and build up one another. Paul's goal, he says, "For I'm not seeking my own good, but I'm seeking the good of many." So Paul says, first of all, our conduct in Christian freedom should be guided by the benefit and edification of others. But then he says, it also should be guided by the glory of God. The glory of God. So whether you eat or drink, he says in verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So what does that mean? You hear that? Do it for the glory of God. How would you answer that? What does it mean to do something for the glory of God? What does it mean to bring glory to something? I looked it up in the dictionary. I was wondering how the dictionary would define it. One definition, it says this. It says, adoring praise or worshipful thanksgiving. Then it says, example, give glory to God. Another definition says, worshipful praise, honor, and thanksgiving. So to give glory to something, it means to praise it, to honor it, to give thanks to it. So when we give glory to someone or something, we are giving it the praise and the honor that we think it deserves. So what does it mean to give glory to God? What does it mean to give glory to something? Anybody watching football last night? We were watching football last night. Henry John's big into football now. He wants to play football. I don't know about that. But he wants to play football, so we're watching football. And one of the games we watched, this guy made a spectacular play, heading for the sidelines, heading for the corner. He's out of bounds, but he keeps the ball like this. He's not on the ground anymore. He's flying. He's horizontal. I mean, he's flying through the ground, and he lands 2 yards inside the goal, but the ball was just on the other side of that little orange thing. What do you call that thing? I don't know what it is, but... And after further review, touchdown, right? The place is going nuts. Spectacular play. They're giving this guy glory. How are they doing it? What do teammates do when you make a great play in football? They beat up on him, right? He just sailed through the air, missed his body for the game. And what do? They go, way to go, right? Hit him on the head. His head going like this, right? They nail him. They tackle him. Right? Way to go, great play. The crowd is going nuts. Right? Touchdown. Thank you, thank you. You're awesome. Right? The TV, how does it give him glory? Replay. Let's see that again. This angle, that angle, a little slower, right? Again and again, giving this guy accolades. Paul says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, give God the glory. Let it be defined by giving glory to God. So what does that mean? I think I know what it means in the football game, right? I see it, but right? What does it mean? What does it look like? How would you define it? Anybody? We give God glory through what we do. Gordon Fee says, by acknowledging God, by acknowledging God's ownership of all things, and giving Him thanks for it. How would you define it? Yeah. Okay. Doing something in such a way that the spotlight is not on ourselves, but either on someone else our God. Spotlight right on me right now, right? Turn the spotlight off. It's not about you. All right, anybody else? Our culture teaches us, do what we want, right? Any old time. Paul says, do it for the glory of God. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah. So that... That was a lot, and that was good. Could you hear that? Doing it for others, she says. Putting others first. Putting yourself second or last. Putting God first so that He gets the credit. Anybody else? It says, do it for the glory of God. What does that mean? Yeah. Okay. Humility. Humbleness. All right? Take away pride. Yeah. Okay. What do you mean by that? Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Okay. All right. So I'm going to be nice to you and hope that you'd be nice to me back kind of thing. I expect a little give and take here. Or I'll get my reward from God. Okay. God, look it. I was nice to Scott today. Yeah? Right? Here I am. Woo! Right? Okay? Yeah. Anybody else? Do it for the glory of God, he says. Would you know it when you saw it? As I was laying in that tent, praying that four-wheeler wouldn't come flying through. Right? I'm thinking, who are these guys? Right? And who do they think they are? Right? Who do they think that they are? Just disrupting this whole county campground. I mean, they were the focal point, right? And then when you're out in the middle of nowhere at night, you can hear everything, right? And we heard it all, the whole campground. Right? As I'm laying there, I'm thinking, man, these guys are a piece of work. These guys are a piece of work. And as the Lord often does, right, when I'm thinking, man, are they a piece of work? Right, it just flips it just a little bit. Oh, yeah, Pastor Henry. And how are you a piece of work? How are you eating, drinking, and doing whatever you do based on what you think you have the right to do? How are you doing whatever you want to do at any old time? Pastor Henry doesn't drink a whole lot. I don't own a four-wheeler. Right? I've been known to say a four-letter word here and there. Right? But I'm not doing that, right? But the Lord says, you're doing something different. Right? The Lord allowed me to see that in the pitch darkness. At 2:30 in the morning in the middle of North Dakota. He allowed me to see where my life was being defined by the rules of law and by my rights. Right? The law allows us to do a lot of things, right? And we all have inalienable rights here, right, in this country. Peace, happiness. Wait, what are they? Now I'm getting them all mixed up. What are our rights here? Somebody tell me our rights. Who's our government people? The pursuit of happiness, but what are the other ones? Life, liberty. That's right. Thank you. Right? I have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And these hosers, right, are impinging on all that. I don't like my life right now because I don't know if I'm going to have it in a half hour. I'm not very happy because I'd rather be sleeping. Right? And they're drinking and whooping it up. That's the culture in which we live, defined by rights. You have the right to do it. If the law says it's okay, or more importantly, if we believe, right? If I believe I have the right to do this. We are told that we're free to do whatever we want any old time. And only when we get concerned, right, is when hosers over there are impinging on my rights right here. If we want to drink and drive our four-wheelers, we can. If we want to surf the internet wherever we want to go, we can. If we want to max out our credit cards, that's our right. The contract says we can. However, Paul says, look at this a minute. Look at this. He says, even though those things may be permissible, they may not necessarily be constructive or beneficial. Therefore, Paul, he challenges these two things as the guiding principle for our conduct. He says our conduct should not be governed by the law or by rights. Rather, our conduct should be governed by our freedom in Christ. Freedom which enables us to get over ourselves, right, and to be able to seek the good of others. Freedom that enables us to get over ourselves so that the glory goes away and toward God. He says that's what you've been freed to do. That is your freedom. That is who you are. He says, embrace that freedom. He says, when the question comes up in your mind and your heart, how do I know if I should be doing this? Paul says, answer these questions. Is it beneficial? Is it beneficial to me? Is it beneficial to you? Is it constructive? Is it building you up? Is it building those around you up? Does this advance the good of others? Where is it taking you and those around you? And does it bring glory to God? Where is God in all of it? Is He in the spotlight or is He off in the corner? Is He in front or is He behind? Paul says, everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his or her own good, but the good of others. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you. Having been challenged by your word to explore our hearts and our lives. We've been challenged to look at what it is that is guiding us and who it is that is guiding us. Lord, as we continue to sing, as we continue to reflect, and as we continue to worship, it is my prayer that you would continue to speak to our hearts about just that. Speak to us about our freedom in you. Speak to us about what it means to be free in Jesus Christ. Speak to us about what it is that is guiding us. Lord, if it's the culture that's guiding us, if it's the laws, if it's rights, allow us to see that, to get rid of it and to replace it with the freedom that we have in you. Dear Lord, speak to us as we sing. Speak to us as we celebrate the sacrament this morning, as we remember once again who you are and what you have done for us, the freedom that you have won for us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.